All right, as we close up, are there questions for the panel? Because I'm just going to give two case scenarios and hear their comments. Go ahead. Question in the back. All right, so why not use the laparoscopic stapler for other parts of the colon, sigmoid or left colon sank?
Yeah, you can, and we do. So the right side of the colon, it's very easy to do. Transverse colon anterior, very easy to do. Left side, not so easy to do. So typically, let's say it's in the mid-transverse colon, we scope, identify, and then usually put laparoscopically two guide sutures above and below where the polyp is. And then use that to lift up and then come across it transversely with the laparoscopic endo-GIA.
I think the concern is going to be stricture formation. I did use it once, so I had a polyp growing into a diverticulum. So endoscopically, I freed the whole edge with a knife blade and then lifted it, and I put the stapler right underneath that whole wall. Question in the front. All right, so the question is going to be, if you do an endoscopic resection and you perforate and now you got to go back and do it, are you going to cause harm to the patient? And then the answer is, clinically, we have not seen that. And then the second question would be, if you have to go back and do a colectomy afterwards, is it any harder to do the colectomy? Larry?
No, the ones we've done, none of them did we perforate, first of all, so there was no perforation. We just did a standard colectomy, and there was no cancer found in any of the specimens of the five people. Actually, not one of the five had a residual disease.
You might be worried it's going to be more stuck because of what you did. And when you go back, if you have to do a laparoscopic colectomy, and I can just say hasn't happened often, but it hasn't been an experience. Question here. Do you image them? Do we get CAT scans and CEAs before you take out these things? Emery?
No, because you don't have a diagnosis of cancer quite yet. So first you would get pushback from insurance companies as well, not until we diagnose them.
So we wait, we say, now there's a cancer, and even post-op, we'll say, now you get your CAT scan of your chest, abdomen, and pelvis, and we find a cancer in your final specimen. So we don't image them preoperatively. Question?
If you were to find 3 centimeter polyp in a sigmoid diverticulum, how confident would you be to use EST?
So a 3 centimeter polyp growing into a diverticulum, how are you going to manage that one? Sam, go, come on, I'll think about it. Anybody want to answer it? Larry?
I think that would be one that I'd do a colectomy on.
Yeah. The only thing I did, this was a little smaller than that, so part of it was growing into it and out, and what I did was I moved all the polyp tissue to the diverticulum, and then I raised up, and I was able to come across the side of it. But how many times in your career do you see a polyp growing inside of a diverticulum? Anybody put their hands up if they have? Because I think most of us probably don't. I saw one in all these years. Like, how does it know not to get into the diverticulum? I don't know. I'm kind of fascinated with that a little bit. All right, final question that I'll ask. A 3 centimeter polyp right colon in a 52-year-old woman with high-grade dysplasia, what's the plan? Saying, is this high-grade dysplasia, 3 centimeter polyp right colon, 52-year-old woman, what do you tell her?
Yeah, I scope the patient, see if it's benign. We can do
is this in the OR all day, on the fly, the one,
yeah.
One setting?
Yeah. But I mean, every single patient that I attempt cells, I tell them this, it is possible that it can come back as cancer and that we need to reoperate on the patient.
And you're going to do this by ESD or an EMR, or what's your preference? Right colon?
Yeah, if it's right colon, sometimes especially ones that are growing, you know, along the fold, I think it's easier just to lap endoscopic-assisted wedge resection laparoscopically. You can also do combined endolaparoscopic surgery.
All right, Emery, same case. What are you going to do it? Are you going to do it in the endo or are you doing the OR?
I look at the colored images and make a decision if it's feasible.
What if you get the Xerox copy of the polyp in your pictures, right? So you don't have good imaging.
Yeah, that's what my secretary does. She's really good at it, getting these colored images. We really get those definitely sent to us and then look at it and they take a decision because I know you're going to ask me OR or endoscopy. So if they look favorable, then I put them in the
OR. Or if you can't get the images, you'll do them in, do you do them in those in the OR?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Larry, are you doing these in the OR?
I do them in the OR and I tell them we're going to take a look at it. And now we're doing dysplastic ones as well. But as I told you, I'm obviously not great at picking them out because I had five that we were off on. But we tell them that you're going to be ready for the resection, do it in the OR, and if they
you're going to do an ESD for that 52-year-old with high-grade dysplasia.
Yeah,
right. Good, Sam.
Yeah,
Yeah, same. All right, now last one. 82-year-old woman with heart disease who's got a 3 or 4 centimeter serrated adenoma in her right colon, no dysplasia. She's 82. Like, why the hell is she having a colonoscopy to begin
healthy,
with?
Healthy, she playing
paddle ball. No, she's got some heart disease, and she's got she's 82, and she's got the serrated adenoma, and she's like scared to death she's going to die of this thing. Sang?
Yeah, exactly the same that I described.
Are you more likely to do an ESD or an EMR for that one?
ESD? No.
All right. Emory, are you going to do an ESD
EMR,
on that?
EMR in the OR.
Right. I think that's the biggest difference. We even us get chicken that if I have a low risk lesion, which I think most serrated adenomas are in an older patient, I'm just going to do an EMR.
Yeah, but EMR on a serrated adenoma is not an easy thing to do at all. It's just flat. So
where my double channel comes into play.
Okay, that's one way. But the other way is you can do a lot of our ESDs are not ESDs. They're partial ESDs. We mobilize it, and then we put a snare.
Hybrid.
Combined hybrid thing.
So you free the edge so that you can get the snare to go underneath.
Do as much as I can, but I think a flat thing with a snare, I mean, you can grasp it, but it is very difficult to do those that way.
Right. Sang, comments?
Yeah, wedge resection.
Wedge. Sam? Dilumin, EMR? Perfect. All right, any other questions? Thank you all very much. We appreciate your times and my panel. Thank you.